Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing greater. There's nothing great. There's absolutely nothing greater than feeling and sensing and being in the presence of the Most High God. Now, I've got 6 pages of notes and I've got 12 minutes to preach it in. So hang on. We might run a tad bit late. The man and the word. The man and the word. I want to go back or review with you all the basis for and the authority of the Word of God. How many of you realize that the police officers are an authority? And if we would submit to the authority, things would go much better for us. We see folks getting manhandled by the police to the point even of some losing their life. And then the families come after the police because their loved one has lost their life at the hands of the police, when in fact it could all have been avoided if we would just submit to the authority that God has placed over us. You're under arrest, sir. Put your hands behind your back. Okay. Get up against the car. Okay. They put the handcuffs on you. No problem. It's when you start rebelling against the authority that God, that things start to go bad. And so I want for us to understand tonight that we are under authority. We are under authority. We can hide our sin for a while, but eventually the truth will be revealed. Amen? Listen, if you haven't done anything wrong and the police pull you over, you got nothing to worry about. If you have done something wrong and you submit to the authority, things will go well for you. Sooner or later, distraction, opposition, anger, or fatigue will wear you down to the point where your true heart will be exposed. Amen? The trials of life will conspire against our efforts to maintain a religious front. Hello. You and I cannot pick when or where we will be tested by adversity. But the test will come. We have to build our character carefully because sooner or later it will come out under stress. We need to live each day as if our actions will one day be known by everyone. Hello. Folks, it is useless in the midst of a test to acknowledge that we should have prepared. Like I said this morning, when the eastern sky splits and the trumpet of the Lord sounds, it's the wrong time to be saying, boy, I should have prepared for this. Now is the time to change whatsoever is within us that you won't want revealed later. Stand with me tonight as I read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. God. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all and all who were who desire to live godly in Christ. Remember I said this morning, that the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says so right here. I'm giving you chapter and verse. And you who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. How much Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and yes, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That every man of God, man here is not gender specific. Amen? It's not talking to just the guys. It's non-gender specific. That the man of God may be complete. Ladies, he wants you to be complete as well and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, I pray, God, that you would give me the right words to say tonight. That you would give us ears to hear what your voice and your word and your Holy Spirit would impart to us tonight. Lord, and I thank you for it. Give me your words. Anoint me, Lord, to declare your word. Anoint your people to receive your word. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Whether we like it or not, children remember, for better or for worse, what their parents say and do over them. Amen? They will remember it. A single encouragement or a harsh word may be forgotten, but persistent reminders will be carried for a lifetime. Oh, you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. Anybody ever heard that? Over and over. You'll never amount to nothing. And you know what happens? We never amount to nothing. Because there's power in the spoken words. But persistent reminders will be carried for a lifetime. Paul laced his letters that he wrote, the epistles. He laced them with words of encouragement. He laced them with challenges and hopes and affirmations for Timothy. For Paul, anything worth saying was worth saying several times. Amen? Paul said the same thing over and over and over. Paul said the same thing in different ways. But listen, it's the same message. It might seem strange to you, but as a pastor, it has been my challenge to come up with different texts or different passages of Scripture to preach from so as to not be repetitious. But as I read God's Word and as I study for myself, I find that I have to go over the same things several times to really get the point. Some people can just glance over the word and it's like they're just a sponge. They just suck it up. I'm like I've been sprayed with Pam. It just ricochets off of me. We got to keep going over it and over it to get it to, maybe it's the rock. I don't know. But the absolute authority, here's what we have to come to grips with. This book is the absolute authority. God did not write His Word for you and I to pick and choose what we like about it. Amen. Or what we think we're going to live by. He said that we're to live according to His Word. The absolute authority of the Word of God over our lives is based in our conviction that this book does not merely contain the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. There's a difference. It doesn't just contain God's Word. It is God's Word. It is the living Word of God. Amen? this passage of Scripture testifies to this and describes the actual process of the inspiration. It is the word of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Greek word here is translated inspiration of God and literally means that it is God-breathed. God's Word is God-breathed Word. The word inspired comes from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and pneu, meaning to breathe. So it's God's breath. God breathed His Word. Amen? So the Bible's not just the product of some elevated human consciousness or enlightened human intellect, but it is directly breathed from God Himself. The disciples weren't just sitting by the lake of Gethsemane or of Gennesaret one day and just like, I believe I'll write this down. They didn't. Paul didn't just think, you know, I've seen a few things. I think I'll just begin to make a journal and write some of these things. In fact, I think I'm just going to sit down and write a letter to the Romans. Or to the Ephesians or the Philippians. No, it was God breathed through the writers. The Bible is not the product of elevated human consciousness. Over in the book of 2 Peter, it elaborates this point where it says in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 1, Knowing this first, you have to listen to what the words are saying. He says, listen, this is what you need to know first. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. These guys didn't just have a moment where they, No. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them and moved them. They function with unction. There's something begins to stir it deep inside within us. It's the unction of the Holy Ghost. Peter wrote of Revelation. I'm not talking about the book of Revelations. I'm talking about Peter wrote of revelation. What he wrote was revealed. He had revelation. He had revelation knowledge. Holy Spirit revelation began to manifest itself inside of these writers, and it was the source of all the Scripture. One belief about revelation, or one's belief rather, about revelation is foundational for faith. The Christian, you and I, must be able to rest on the infallibility of Scripture, or their source, our faith is of no value. Think about that. Somewhere along the line, folks, we've got to come to grips with the reality that God's Word is infallible. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. End of discussion. That's why Peter said, knowing this first. There's some things that we've got to come to understand. And that is, the Scripture is not some brainstorm of the apostles and the disciples that wrote it. It's the inspired Word of God. It's the revelation Word of God. It's the God-breathed Word. That's why Peter said, again, knowing this first, Scripture did not come from the creative work of the prophet's own invention or interpretation. Ever. The same God who spoke to the disciples at the Transfiguration had spoken to the prophets in the Old Testament, guiding them in their writings. God inspired the writers, so the message is authentic and reliable. It is authentic and it is reliable. God used the talents. He used the education. He went so far as to use the cultural background of each writer. They were not taking dictation. That's why when you read God's Word, you've got to go back in God's Word and you've got to do some digging. You've got to do some studying. You've got to find some things out. Because if we just take it at face value, we miss so much. Because it's talking about an entirely different culture. It's talking about a different time period. How many of you have read John chapter 15? The vineyard and the husbandman and all that kind of stuff. And he says, I'm the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know the passage? And if those are in me that don't bear fruit, he takes them away. We read that. He says he takes them away, right? And the first thought that comes to our mind is that they are taken away. Right? Wrong. That's not what it says at all. Remember that you have to look at the verbiage and it says, they are in me. He takes away. Well, what does that mean? It means they're still attached to the vine. The branch is still attached to the vine. It's in him. Remember, he's the vine, we're the branches. Those that are in him, but they're not producing fruit, he takes them away. Where does he take them? The word takes away is in the original language is arios. A-I-R-O, aerial. You know what it means? To lift up. The picture is of the leaves and the branches being down in the mud and the muck and all that stuff, and they're choked out with the mud and the dirt and the rain, and they've got junk all over them, and they're not producing any fruit. And the husbandman comes through the vineyard with his bucket of water, sees them there, picks them up out of the dirt, cleans them up, puts them back up on the trellis where they can get oxygen and water and begin to produce fruit. Amen? See how you just got revelation right there. I mean, that sounds funny, but you just received revelation from God's Word, because for all this time you've been thinking takes away means we got took away. That's not what it says. Drop down a couple verses, and then what does it say? Those that are not in me are cut off and burned. Amen? Read God's Word. Learn what He's saying in His Word, because there's cultural backgrounds and things that are going on. They're not taking dictation. God cooperated with the writers in such a way as to ensure that the message that He intended was faithfully communicated through the words that they wrote. And isn't it amazing that it is still affecting lives today? So the Bible's not some collection of stories or fables or myths or merely human ideas about God. It's not a human book. It is not a human book. Through the Holy Spirit, God revealed His person and plan to certain believers who wrote down His message for His people. The Bible's words are entirely accurate and authoritative for our faith and for our lives. You've got questions, He's got answers. We have to understand, folks, that none of what was given was merely the private opinion of the writer, and that each writer involved in the production of the Holy Scripture was moved by the Holy Spirit. God moved on them. God breathed on them. We have to come to grips with that. This book is not up for debate. This book was written and given to us to bring conviction into our life. Not condemnation, conviction. And conviction brings about correction. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul counsels young Timothy to look to his past and to hold to the basic teachings about Jesus that he knew were eternally true. false teachers might constantly move on to new and more exciting concepts and ideas for discussion and for argument. But Timothy needed to stand secure on what he had learned and firmly believed. I remember one time in our church early on in Utah, a gentleman came to my house and said, "Listen, Pastor, we love your preaching. It's great preaching. You're doing a great job of preaching, but we need the more meaty things of God. The more challenging things of God." And I said, "Well, let me ask you this question. If I have 150, 120 people in church on Sunday morning, and I don't know the lives of all of them, and if I have 25 or 30 on Wednesday night or on Sunday night, when do you think," because he said, "all you preach about is salvation." I said, "when do you think would be the best time to preach a salvation message?" And I said, "as for the meaty things of God, those deep things of God, let me just ask you two questions. Number one, where are you on Sunday night? Question number two, where are you on Wednesday night?" Because it is in those two night services, much like we're doing here tonight, that we get into the deeper, meatier things of God. Because by and large, the folks that come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night are people that are hunger for the Word, that are grounded in the Word, that are not just mere babies in the Word, although we do have babies in this place. But they're people that have surrendered their life to the Lord. And he just didn't have nothing else to say. I'm not a theologian. I've made that very clear. I've never claimed to be a theologian. I'm not a deep thinker. I know about salvation. I know how to get people, or I know how to allow the Lord to use me to draw people to the altar and surrender their life. That's the first, that's the greatest miracle that there is, in my opinion. And yes, we do get into the deeper things of God. But that's not going to happen on Sunday morning. Because folks, you don't give a baby a chunk of steak. You don't give him a baked potato because he'll choke to death on it. They need the milk of the Word. So we have to understand that it was not some brainchild. The false teachers had all kinds of exciting things. And when Timothy was told to stand secure on what he had learned and firmly believed, it didn't mean that Timothy didn't need to study anymore, but that the basics that Timothy knew and believed would never change. It's the unchangeable, infallible Word of God. Timothy knew the Scripture from childhood, and so he knew that all Scripture was inspired by God. And so when Paul spoke of all Scripture, he was primarily referring to the Old Testament, since that was what was completed at that time. But the scope of Paul's assertion would include any writing that was considered authoritative enough to be read in the church meetings, which by the end of the first century would have included the four Gospels and Paul's writings. So according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Paul's writings were classified at that time as Scripture. Let me just share with you what it says. "And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scripture." That's why you don't. Mike and I and Tammy was talking the other night at the house about some of the very deep things of God that I'm not going to stand here and declare across the pulpit, because you want to know why? It'll freak you out. Because it's for it you know, the scripture is understandable and all of that, but there are some things when you begin to really get into the Word of God that if you're not grounded in the Word, if you're not grounded and been taught and instructed and learned God's Word, it'll mess you up. It can mess you up. Peter recognized the value of Paul's letters in the growth of the church, for he described Paul as writing them with the wisdom that God gave him. In other words, they were inspired words. It's the inspired Word of God. In chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter in fact refers at the end there, Peter refers to them along with the other scriptures, indicating that the letters were on par with the Holy Scripture. You and I, like Timothy, can never forget the Scripture's purpose, which is to lead us and all believers to do good. God does not want us to just be sponges. In fact, you know what He wants us to be? He wants us to be like a water faucet on the side of the house. Water faucets, they just hanging around. But when you turn the knob, it just comes gushing out. I mean, we ought to be walking around like little water faucets, just waiting for somebody to just crack the throttle, just, and we just, amen? Knowledge of God's Word is not useful unless it strengthens our faith and leads us to do good. The whole Bible, all of it, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible is God's inspired Word. Because it is inspired and trustworthy, we ought to read it and study it and learn it and apply it to our life and live our life according to God's Word. The Bible is our standard for testing everything else that claims to be true. You need a plumb line? It's God's Word. It is our safeguard, folks, against false teaching and our source of guidance for how we should live. It's our only source of knowledge about how we can be saved. God wants to show us what is true and equip us to live for Him. It's one thing to just live. It's another thing to live for Him. Here's the question I close with. How much time are we spending in the Word of God, reading and learning? And because listen, if we would spend as much time as we do in God's Word as we do in many other functions of our life every day, it would change us. I guarantee you, it would change us. If we read it regularly, we will begin to discover God's truth and become confident in our life and our faith. Listen, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said that I can be healed, I'm going to be healed. God said that I was going to have provision, I'm believing God's going to make provision. I believe that God's making a way right now for that building to be established. And I believe He's going to do it, $1,000 bill at a time. $1,000 here, $1,000, $10,000. I've seen Him do it. I've seen $20,000, $25,000 just come in the offerings in our church in St. George. I've seen people just show up with money. What He did there, He'll do here. What He's done for others, He'll do for us. The Bible says that our latter days can be better than our former days, and I'm claiming that in the name of Jesus. You with me, Ron? Come on, buddy. Let's pray. Father, Your Word is our only hope. God, Your Holy Spirit is the Counselor and the Paraclete, our Comforter, our Teacher, our Friend. Lord, would You reveal to us Your Word, that it would change us and compel us, Lord, to be men and women of God, rightly able to divide the Word of God, to impart life scripturally and spiritually to other folks, God, that the false teachers and all their fun little things would fade away, and that, God, we would know that we trust You. We would know in what we stand and on whom we stand. Lord, You are the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Help us to learn from Your Word. Help us to be grounded, God, in Your Word. And for that, we'll be careful to give You all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Would you remember to pray for Bob and for Janice and for Mary and for Ernie this week and for Larry Dunn this week? Continue to lift them up. And then when God lays somebody on your heart, or if you're part of the prayer chain and you get something, don't just blow it off. Begin to pray. Begin to seek God. Let God minister through you to other people. Amen? Hey, God bless you. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet. We are grateful that you're here with us. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Amen? God bless you and good night.